This week on RSBNB Update, it's Mental Health Awareness Week, and we discuss the new meditation promotion and what it could mean for the future. Maude Iroh and team are back for another look at the player avatar refresh, showing off reflections, lighting, and more costumes. This is RSBNB Update, episode 829, recorded Thursday, May 13th, 2021. RuneScape Meditation. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tannis and myself are here this week. This week, we got a fun crop of news to discuss. Mental Health Awareness Week is happening. And, of course, we got a very big and consequential, I think, new update on the character avatar refresh project. I absolutely love that stream, Tannis.
You know, it's one of those weeks where the news is the future of the news, kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not to overlook the nice little bits and bobs we got for the week with patches and mental health awareness, but yeah, that stream, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, holy crap, I can't believe we play this game, but more on that in just a bit. We do have other stuff to discuss. So if you're joining us for the first time, you can follow along in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. I am Shane12088 in game. He is Tannis79, and we're in friends chat, Bits Bytes, amongst other places. YouTube.com/rsbnb as well. If you want to subscribe to the podcast there, get video versions of it and the nibbles, the best of updates, so to speak, just check us out on YouTube at YouTube.com/rsbnb. But nonetheless, we're going to start off this week with Mental Health Awareness Week, and they run this every May, and this has become a fixture within the community. And, you know, I think everybody in this day and age has become acutely aware of how important it is to have these discussions and raise awareness of mental health issues, because, you know, lots of people do identify as having mental health issues, but at the same time, there's lots of people who might be feeling a certain way and might not know that the way they're feeling does fit into that category. So it's just very important to have that discussion. And I feel talk openly with people you can trust and whatnot. And I think Mental Health Awareness Week is a perfect week to do that.
Absolutely, especially after the last year.
Yeah.
I think we've all been through, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, there is, people were wondering with this one, because this is a bit of a different Mental Health Awareness Week. For Jagex, previously they would put these items into game and you would earn tokens while playing the game. And then you could buy advanced progress with rune coins or bonds to complete that event faster. But what they've done this time, there's no currency token event. And I think everybody has grown wary of those over time. Mm-hmm. So what they've done this time is they've just put everything for their Mental Health Awareness Week bundle up for sale for the price of either one bond or 250 rune coins. And that's, I think, a very evolutionary step. Because, you know, when you look at this, you ask how much of this money is going to go to Jagex. And I wish this was written in fine print on the event page in-game, but it's not. But all the proceeds from this event go to their charity partners. So if you pay with rune coins, that amount of real money will be sent directly to them. Or if you pay with a bond, the proceeds from that bond will get sent over to their charitable partners as well. So there should be no question this week as to whether or not the items you're purchasing are all going towards charitable efforts. And I just wanted to make that clear, because there was some question about that when this event started, how much of this is going to charity. So we just need to have that topic put away to the side. And The reason I say that is because at the bottom of the post it says, proceeds from the sale of the meditation bundle will support two of our charity partners who focus specifically on mental health, CPSL Mind and RAD. CPSL Mind, of course, provides support to individuals experiencing mental health problems in the Cambridge and Peterborough area of the UK, where Jagex is based. They're known for their Stop Suicide program that aims to prevent suicide by raising awareness and giving ordinary members of the public the skills and confidence they need to help those who are at risk. RAD stands for Rise Above the Disorder, and this is a project that started as one gamer's mission to overcome depression and has since turned into a massive worldwide community aiming to make mental health care available to everyone, everywhere, who needs it. And RAD also provides entirely free services to gamers through its grant program and has helped over 28,000 people find hope and happiness that they deserve. So two very notable charities, and we've seen these directors of these charities talking before at Jagex on stage at RuneFest. And, you know, they are eternally grateful for all the support the community has given. So if you're interested in supporting those charities, you can head on into game, go to the community tab, and purchase the meditation bundle for one bond or 250 rune coins. You ready to talk about the bundle, or do you have any thoughts on their wonderful charitable partners?
I mean, the only thing that I want to say is I thought it kind of went without saying that all of the money did go to the charity, because Jagex has always done that in the past. You know what I mean? Like, they've either given all of the money that they've collected to those charities, or they've even gone as far as to collect it and match it, you know? So, that never even occurred to me that that would be...
I know it was a question I saw, so I wanted to address that straight in the front here.
For sure.
And in some ways, I think this is better than having to work through it for the game, because with this, you know, you have that physical buy-in that you're helping these charities out, and it might actually drive more sales to these charities, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of lean towards that myself. And I don't think it would have been the right time to have one of those token type events.
No, not during double XP.
Right. So, wait till we get to the bundle, because pretty good bundle.
Yeah, let's go there right pretty now, because with this, you get the Stone of Meditation, which is a reusable item that provides 4% XP boost for yourself and a 2% boost for surrounding players. It can hold up to 5 charges, and you'll get 2 charges per day. And on June 14th, the stone will be cleaned up, and non-Iron Man players will receive 2,500 oddments in exchange for looking after it. But you also get the Banner of Meditation, the Cloak of Meditation, 10 Pulse Cores, 5 Cinder Cores, 5 large protein packs, and 5 portable packs. And the last 5 of them are not available on Iron Man characters. Iron Man only get the Banner and Cloak of Meditation. Now, you know, we look at this and we see 2% XP boost for surrounding players, 4% for everybody using the Stone of Meditation, and 2,500 oddments after. That doesn't seem like a huge boost, but it's tangible enough to have a benefit, I would say.
4% XP?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost an avatar boost, right?
It's a little bit more than half of a maxed out avatar.
Yeah, I mean, no,
and all these things stack.
It's worth it. Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is almost the perfect bundle to push these kind of sales towards driving this charitable effort.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting a little bit on the cosmetics. You're getting a little bit from the XP side, which is then going to turn into oddments, which you can once again either put into cosmetics or XP. You know, your choice. What's not to... I don't know. I think it's pretty nice. I think it's priced right.
$5 for this? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
And it's going to a wonderful cause too.
Yeah, absolutely. They've worked with, I know they've worked with these charities going back several years at this point, right? Like,
yeah. And, you know, I also think that aside from this being a good bundle value-wise and being a good opportunity to donate to these charities, I don't want to take away from the charitable element of this. I just want to make that 100% clear with what I'm about to say next. You know where I'm going with this?
I don't know, but I feel like there's going to be evil capitalism creeping in the next words you say.
I think that this is a perfect experiment for how to sell XP boosts and cosmetic bundles on either the RuneCoin store or just for bonds.
So, I actually think you're onto something. I wish it wouldn't have been done with like the charity bundle.
Well, no, in some ways, doing it with the charity bundle is the perfect way of doing it because if it sells really well, it's wonderful for the charity.
Well, I mean, I guess you're right. What I thought when I looked at this is this reminded me of a mainstream game bundle. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Yep.
That's what it put me in mind of. And I thought, oh, we're really starting to occupy the space now, too.
Like, yeah.
We're there, too.
And now the question from this, and this is the part people might not like, if you take this kind of pricing and same kind of bundle mechanic and you strip the cosmetics out of it and you, instead of the cosmetics, you added bonus XP stars and smoldering lamps. You kept the pulse cores, cinder cores, protein packs, and portables exactly the same. Could you run one of these promos each and every or every other week and generate more money than you do at Treasure Hunter?
Well, probably. I mean, at least you're getting exactly what you're paying for. I mean, that's the big deal.
That's the big one. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but when I'm like, if I'm playing other things, like, even if I don't want each individual item in a bundle.
Oh, yeah, you buy the bundle.
You still buy the bundle. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that with Stowe numerous times. Hmm. Now, let's, for everybody who doesn't like the selling of XP, let's flip this on its head. What if you remove all the XP boosting items and instead you make this a cosmetic pack for a bond or 250 rune coins? There's that idea too.
So a trick question?
No, I don't think so. What side of it would be a trick question? I'm not trying to trick you.
With this particular offering, I don't think that stands on its own.
Okay, so you don't think you could add three more cosmetics to this and have it work?
Oh, maybe. You would have to, but that's what I'm saying. You have to add more cosmetics as it stands cosmetically.
I'm basically saying remove all the XP boosting items and add three more cosmetics to this bundle. So you get about five cosmetics.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Maybe a pet?
Yeah.
With the bundle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I started this segment, I didn't want to take away from the aspect of charity here because I know how important that is. But I feel like this is a Trojan horse for experimenting with a different kind of marketing and microtransaction system for the game. I don't know if it was intended that way, but it feels that way. And I think
just
that's
just wait it, Dickie. Shane. It was good and wholesome and fun and pure, and you're making it gross.
Well, would you rather have this just be a once week off experiment, or would you rather have the proceeds go to charity?
No, I mean, you're right. You got a point there. It's just, I don't want to think about it like that. I always want to think like it was a happy thing.
But it's an interesting exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're into thought exercising.
Of course we are here at Update. Without that, I mean, we wouldn't really push the envelope. And I mean, we'll see how this does. And I mean, I honestly think it's only natural because this is the exact same kind of bundle you would see on an app store. The difference would be is that you just open up your phone, go to the store, authenticate your fingerprint or your face, and buy that bundle with your app store credit.
Yeah, think of that. Okay, so that stone reminds me of, like, it's an experience scroll in a game or, you know, something to that effect, you know, like, and then there would be an outfit usually.
Yep.
I mean, and it's that way. I mean, it from ESO to Fishing Planet, it's the same kind of, you know, the same kind of thing. And it's all right there. I mean, the only real difference is a lot of those other games, there's an experience difference between being a free-to-play player and a member, right? There's an actual XP difference.
Whereas with this in RS, the microtransactions are all the same between free-to-play and members, with the exception of what you can use off Treasure Hunter if you're free-to-play.
Yes, it's very egalitarian that way.
Yeah. So I hope I made everyone think with that. And, you know, with the mobile launch coming this summer, I think this is something that, you know, you kind of want to put a bit of a trial balloon out there to see how this would go. And like I said, it's got the extra added benefit that it's going to charity. So it helps these two charities, which is excellent. And you have to then, when you're looking at the analytics on this, you look at how much of the driving force was because it's charitable and how much is it because people want the boost, and then you split the difference on that, and then there's your benefit if you want to run one of these without the charity event active. And then we learn something and, you know, maybe, hey, we further diversify the revenue model for RuneScape. And that's what this is all about this week, in addition to charity. So I'm happy with this. Are you? After...
Yeah,
hearing
I'm pretty
the
happy.
Direction I went.
Well, I mean, you might be onto something because I would have to say that our community is one of the few communities that doesn't relish in pushing the envelope and wanting the game to continually change. And I mean, you have to slip things in, kind of slyly at times, and drag people kicking and screaming for.
It's like putting the vitamins in the milkshake.
Yes, it kind of is. Sometimes we need that. Not all the time, but sometimes we need that.
Yeah. All right. And, you know, there are some other things to go along with this week. Vic the Trader is back yet again. Given double XP is on. I utilized him this week. I'm actually teetering on the edge of utilizing him and going all in based on my experience so far with the Slayer skill. But I'll talk more about that in what we've been doing later.
You know, Vic is just not who he used to be. I thought we had a relationship, and then he comes at me and just, he don't want to give me nothing, you know. And I know I have quality goods here. Like, it's the same XP, just in a skill I don't want. And he's all trying to, like, talk me down. Like, you know, we're in a pawn shop or something. I've had it up to here with Vic. You know, it's like I thought I was dealing with, like, Alibaba, and I was getting a pair of Lil Nas X Nikes, and when I got them, it was just like, it just said, Nike on the side, you know, with like a check mark instead of a swish, you know. I'm like, what is this? That's how I felt with Vic this week.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think it makes sense to have him around for double XP, maybe the first week or so of double XP, and that should be when he comes around. Just, you know, add some regular frequency to it, I'd say, because at double XP start, I mean, what's to say you've been managing your treasure hunter right, or maybe you want to, you know, just change where your double XP is as double XP live begins. So I think bringing him back around double XP is a good idea.
So yeah, I don't think it should go under 1-to-1. It does not feel, it's not 1-to-1.
No, it's not.
And I mean, you could even like, I'll buy the Vic token. I will. Especially if it was just like the 1-to-1, because man, I feel like it hurts once. Once you're at that bottom level, you're like, ugh, man.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, you could purchase a reset token, a Vic reset token with a bond or something, or maybe half a bond.
That would have been worth it to me, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would have been more worth it than just... I mean, I know it's not like I could have done anything else with it. You know, I parked it where it could be, you know, used eventually, and not thinking that, no, you're only going to get a fraction of that. So, bummer.
Yeah, I'll talk about my experience with Slayer on that after. But I want to actually move back to Divination for a minute, if you can believe it or not. Yeah, so I know we had some questions last week about what the rates would be and early indications, and I still don't know what I was missing, but I retried again this week, because you remember last week I said 280 to 300, right?
Yeah.
I was on the Divination World. I was I don't think I was using the Aura, and that plays a huge boost, but this week I went all out. The only thing, to my knowledge, I was missing were Torstal Incense Sticks, Urn Enhancers, and the Clan Avatar. Every other boost was active. I was on the Divination World. I even set up Max Guild portals to use Grace of the Elves to teleport to the Luminous Wisp Colony. This is something David said to do. Teleport to the Luminous Wisp Colony if the Wisps at Incandescent were blocking depositing, because that way then you just got that free teleport to a less busy rift, and away you go. And combining all of that together, I peaked at around 520 KXP per hour. Average looks probably around 470 to 490 using this all-in method. And that was with
it. Doubting Shane.
So there we have it.
There you have it.
And I mean, we're going to see that in skill the month later as well. And, you know, I think this honestly puts Divination on par with other skills at the high end, you know, at the 90 plus. And looking back on it, in terms of, you know, what you can get from safe cracking and Hunter and the like, just to name a few.
Well, I mean, it's like what we talked about. I mean, it did bring it back to what the core loop of Divination is supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I was a little... I mean, I was even a little kind of sticker shocked at the percentage of the buff, right? When it comes to experience. But it seems to be okay. And then my other big concern has been, you know, what's going to shake out with the energy market. much life imitates art, right? Or art imitates life. but right now, we still don't know. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually looked into this too, based on, you know, what the Divination graph for the past number of years is, and if we look back at the price history for incandescent energy, it does look like we are at, you know, a relatively low point. Incandescent energy, of course, peaked last year at 565 GP after archaeology going even higher with its launch to 755. And, you know, by and large part, where we're at right now is at the historical average for incandescent energy. So we are at the average of where things have been in terms of just incandescent energy itself. Now, I think that we're actually going to be okay, Tanis. I think we're going to be okay. Because the hype's going to die up from double XP and the new training method. People are still going to need their Porters for archaeology, maybe even more, if they want to use Sign of the Porter 7 and they don't have Grace of the Elves. People are still going to need their Divine Charges, which requires incandescent energy, or some other kind of energy. And in order to train at these absurdly high rates of XP, I mean, when you can put on a show and do it this way compared to two-ticking it at the Hall of Memories, who's going to choose to two-tick it at the old rate when you can do this and, you know, effectively be semi-AFK? People are going to elect to go with this option. So what that means is that we're actually probably going to see energy prices go up, because you need energy to get those rates.
Well, but I think there needs to be a bigger difference between using energy and getting those rates. I don't think there's a huge difference that's going to drive a lot of demand in that regard, but I looked at the graphs before the show too, and I thought I almost afforded myself a little bit of hope that maybe it will stay the same.
Right, and we are also steady above the historical average for Divine Charge prices as well.
Yeah, I saw that was up too, and I thought, Well, have to wait and see.
And keep in mind, you know, of course, we do have the God Wars, Elder God Wars announcement coming up soon. That was alluded to in the live stream. And with that, who knows what that's going to do to the PVM side in terms of what people are going to be, you know, willing to spend on Divine Charges and the like. So we could very well see another uptick on this too, I think.
Yeah, but, I mean, they only can burn through, you know, so much at a time, right? I mean, they can only burn through so much, but, I was afraid it was going to go the way of the Doge. It did not. The hell hits all in straw.
Yeah, I don't think we're in that position. So, I am cautiously optimistic, I will say.
Same.
All right. Let's go through the patch notes. Starting off, speaking of divination, adamantite ore will now be consumed when transmuting it to runite. Oops. Yeah. I mean, it's not like rune is something people would be transmuting that often, but it's good this is fixed. The memory overflow buff will no longer be briefly applied upon login. And the buff will no longer close interfaces while it's active. And this is, of course, the weekly reminder that with this update, there needs to be a change made, preferably so that the incandescent, just the enriched wisps can't spawn on the crater. Because that's a real pain when that happens. I hope to see a fix for that in at some point soon as well. But I can see why that one might take a little while longer to bring in. And, or, You know, the other option could just be to prioritize the left click option to be to deposit in the crater. But at that same time, you have to really ask the question with this, what should be the priority interaction? Should it be interacting with the WISP or should it be interacting with the crater? Maybe there would be a way to move the crater to the top of the list. I'm not sure on that, but I think the simplest action would just be to make it so that, that WISPs can't spawn on the crater itself, because that's hell annoying. We shouldn't be required to run off to a different divination colony, or some people are doing surging away and then bladed diving back in order to get to a point where the players disappear and you're actually able to click on the crater.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, people are doing that, believe it or not. So, I hope that gets fixed. Weapons and tools. The cost of recharging crystal hammers has been reduced. Okay?
Yay.
Wonderful?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to know what it was reduced to and from.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing to include in the patch notes. Crystal and Dragon Axe special attacks now deal the expected amount of damage. Though I don't know anybody out there who actually used the hatchets for attacking. Most people just use them for
I know, right? I was like, they have a special?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, the Dragon Hatchet has a special on it. And I feel like we all forget that, don't we?
I forgot it. If I ever knew it at all.
And that comes from the Chaos Dwarfs, I believe it is. Or no, that's the Dagonoth Kings that it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Its special attack is called Clobber. Uses 100% adrenaline. It hits for 70% ability damage maximum, with its lowest possible hit being 1 damage. And it applies a debuff that raises the affinity of the target by 3 for 1 minute, while lowering their defense and magic level by 10%. And knowing how the combat system works after talking about the Rex Matriarch's affinity, 3 really isn't that much at all. And the Crystal Hatchet maintains the Dragon Hatchet special.
Yeah. Ooh.
There we have it. There we have it.
Yeah, you know, you might not want to waste one of those
Essence
of Finality on one of them.
No. The notification for charges remaining on the crystal hammer will now trigger at the correct time. And now a bunch of changes for mobile. You're now able to choose any extra action bar from the list and have the change be saved on mobile devices.
Oh.
Do you understand what that means? Because I don't understand what this patch note means.
I don't know. I guess I've never used much of my action bar on mobile, so maybe it's different. Like, maybe that it doesn't track.
Maybe. Same.
But I'm always doing scaling, so I've never used it.
Or
much.
It could just be simple enough in that it doesn't remember in the combat settings when you change your action bar around. It could just be that.
Yeah.
But even then, it's still a rather obtuse way of writing it. Proximity entity highlighting will now work after closing RuneScape Mobile, then logging back into the game. And mobile players can no longer open the shop when in combat. Pretty good changes.
Okay.
And I also just want to go back to 2 weeks ago talking about mobile and engine changes, because there was a client update a number of weeks back that didn't get posted in the patch notes. And Mod Dark, one of the engine developers, posted on Discord some things that were done to the mobile client, including improved loading speed on Android, improving the performance on the Pixel 4 and Pixel 5, and in general, reduced the maximum number of players that could simultaneously cast shadows on mobile, and reverse default landscape orientation on iOS. Just to name a few little client changes that were brought in. And it also turns out that this update also brought multi-threaded rendering for the Mac client, which has I was wondering what the heck was happening, because I was going through areas that were that normally caused me to stutter a bit. So I opened the frame monitor, and it turned out we had this multi-threaded rendering, and my game doesn't go below 60 FPS anymore.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So, yeah, pretty big changes. So I'd like to see more of these engine changes inside the patch notes, if anybody is listening who is involved in that.
Do you think they're – I mean, are they being done and they just don't highlight them? Or
yeah, they're being done, but I don't know if it's just a question of maybe not needing to put them in the patch notes because they're just client updates. But at the same time, I think everybody needs to realize that RuneScape players, specifically the ones who read patch notes, want to know everything that was done. And there's been a history in the past of doing that. So I think it would just be good to include client changes in the patch notes, even if it doesn't ship with the game update that week. Just say it'll ship in a update later in the week. I think that'd be the best way of going about it. Then we got a whole bunch of other improvements this week. So, increased, talking about increasing in click zone in one word. Increased the click zone of the Blood, Ice, Shadow, and Smoke pillars in the next Angel of Death encounter. Implemented a new debuff icon called Frozen, which will inform the player that they are unable to move. Interesting that nobody managed to work a Let It Go pun into there. And recategorize some agility shortcuts as shortcuts instead of area unlocks in the skill guide. And finally added a missing agility entry to the skill guide for agility. I swear it was listed much more eloquently than I said it, but yet again, just like in the previous one, it would be wonderful to know what was added.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm just thinking how old...
Because at this point, we're just sitting here and, yeah, I mean, is this in Trollheim? Is this in Eagle's Peak?
I'm not sure.
Who knows where?
Could be. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Clicking meta achievements will now direct you to the correct tab, whether you have the show completed option disabled or not.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and you notice this one too, like as a bit of a issue before. I was actually noticing this as well, so glad that has been tweaked. The dirty laundry item can no longer be equipped in the main hand.
I didn't know we could equip dirty laundry.
I think it's from one of the druid quests, because remember you need to help the druid wash his clothes or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh. Wieldable dirty laundry, okay.
Yeah, oh, it's from While Gothic Sleeps. Amazing. I forgot that, but you can't wield your dirty laundry anymore.
Burn it. Hope you keep sicked it while you could.
I wonder if anybody out there has it keepsaked. Oh, boy. The Trollheim agility shortcut is now only available to those with level 64 agility or higher. The spectator interface at the Berthorpe Games Room is now properly updated on each turn. Talk about content going way, 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 way back for that one. The manual... Autocyclers in the empty throne room at the Sentistan dig site will now move correctly. They say, no wonder they weren't going anywhere. Players can no longer bypass the easy clue scroll cap by pickpocketing ham members. Lantatimi seeds will now go into the bank instead of the backpack when choosing the bank all option in the crystal chest at Taverly. The borrowed power spell can now be cast properly, and its cost is now consistent. Using the kills left option on the Ring of Slaying will no longer cause logouts under certain circumstances. Ooh. Attempting To build a staircase from a higher floor of the player-owned house will no longer cause players to disconnect under certain circumstances, and the Inquisitor staff broken can no longer be keepsaked.
Hmm. Okay.
I feel like that these patch notes are very traditional in their sense.
Yeah, not exactly what you'd call like a ninja strike.
No,
right? Like,
no. I think they're still off that because if I recall, the ninja team was involved with implementing Os in April, and I think the wishes.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll have an update for.
Yeah, and
kind of.
Yeah, they said that they're on the way.
They're on the way. Keep checking under your pillow.
Ooh, I'd like that place for them to appear. That's been ages since I found anything under my pillow. Anyways, we're going to talk about the live stream next, but before we do that, I just want to thank some Patreon supporters for this week's episode, making certain that everybody knows how wonderful all of you guys are for letting us do all these crazy things that we do, like last week's monthly bit talking about Menaphos 4 years later. I thought we were going to be walking into a bloodbath with that one, Tanis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it turned out really well, and it turned out to be very progressive and safe.
Yeah, it definitely showed a side that I hadn't thought about before going in. It was one of those kind of bits, you know, where we always kind of uncover something and have that kind of feel for it.
Yeah, and it was really good from that perspective. So if you want the full experience on that, you can check that out at patreon.com/RSBNB. We also put out a monthly bit, or sorry, a nibble on that, where you can catch a bit of a glimpse as to what that involves. You can find that on YouTube. But if you want the access to that and the whole back catalog, just visit patreon.com/RSBNB. We're also doing our round table this weekend on Saturday at 8 p.m. game time. We'll get some double XP discussion in, talk a bit about what we've been up to and whatnot. Last time I took Araxor out, that's not happening this time. Round tables are always fun. And as it is double XP, this one will be open to the public. So making all of this possible, of course, are our Patreon supporters for this week, who are Andrew C., Arvids L., Brock H., Cameron, CGB900, Christian S., Chunk the Monk, CookMePlox, Danny C., Diana, Dream Delayed, Duramax, Gabrielle, Gilifleur, Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jim M., Keski, Kevin G., Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Malinoric, Nora, Parnassius, Rastafa, Ricky A., Samuel FL, Scott DS, Soupfinder, Stobbeve, Tanner JW, The Bears OP, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, Vinny, Zachary K., and Zant. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us. And if you want to, of course, join the ranks of these people, just check us out at patreon.com/RSBNB. As I mentioned, you get access to the back catalog of monthly bits, and you get to vote on the monthly bits for as little as $1 a month. For $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank on Discord and access to stereo versions of the podcast at a higher quality. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out each and every week on the podcast and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. Of course, with this, we have our monthly bit and our monthly round table. We are, of course, working to the $200 goal, which is a special Patreon thank you mail out. And, you know, should we ever reach the mystical $500 a month here, well, Tanis and I will be subjecting our taste buds to a good deal of pain, you say. I'm still not convinced that it'll be that bad, but you say it'll be bad.
I know it'll be bad. I don't think there's any way you're going to tough this one out the way you think, Shane.
All right, we'll see.
We'll see. But I think those fragile Canadian little taste buds are just going to burn right up under the hot, spicy, the space.
Well, that'll also be a video show, so if you want to see that happen, subscribe at patreon.com/RSVMB. Once again, thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Live stream time. As I mentioned, this live stream was one that I just, it really made me question that, oh my God, we're actually playing this game, and this is the way the game is going, believe it or not. Did you get that sense too?
I got the sense, I just couldn't believe where we were going after 20 years. Like,
yeah.
I kept thinking, it's 20 years old, and look where we can go. It just kept blowing my mind thinking about that.
And this is all possible thanks to NXT. We've had this ability for 5 years to do this, and it was just not done, I guess, because of the question, sir, in terms of, you know, how to make it look like RuneScape and work it all in, I guess you could say, with this.
Well, it's that thing about bringing people kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But anyways, this was a live stream with mods Iroh, Stead, and Chili. Iroh, of course, is the art director. Stead is the associate art director. And Chili is the lead environment artist. And, of course, Mod Huli was hosting. They did a bit of housekeeping at the start, talking about wishes and that they're finishing development. And we'll see more about that soon. Also, in regards to the Elite Dungeon punishments, grimoire changes, and more, including a bit of a hint on when the Elder God Wars might kick off. They are doing a Leeds Q&A next week, so we'll be keeping our eyes on that. But with that, they delved into the new character avatar refresh and what that has led to. And, you know, with this, they've actually rolled out, believe it or not, a new material system for this, because there were a number of pieces of the new character model that really just weren't reacting the way they wanted to with the light in the game. So they've switched to a roughness and metalness workflow, and surfaces can be anywhere on that spectrum now. Previously, they were working with what was called a specularity material type, to now what's called PBR, or physical based rendering. And there's lots of words there about that that are kind of hard to distill down. So I had a chat with Zant in the afternoon because he does this kind of thing. And he told me a really easy way of explaining is that this new physically based rendering uses a combination of environmental factors like albedo, which is how light reflects on it, roughness, and normal bump texture maps, as in how the texture reflects light, to create a realistic looking material that more accurately reflects light than they were doing before, because specularity is just the scattering of reflected light as it hits the surface. Visually, this is going to be a little bright highlight that you're going to see on something shiny, and this is something that the new types of art and character work that they were putting in with this update, you really needed to be able to see it better inside the game's mechanics. So they actually, to make the character avatar refresh look better than it was, they actually took to updating a large portion of the RuneScape map squares, something particularly called cube maps. And they have a tool that shows the cube maps and allows them to teleport and get a bunch of screenshots from an area. And effectively what a cube map is it's a way of telling a specific map square how to reflect light. And you can see this in an example they gave. They put a bunch of reflective material inside the Lost Grove and applied the desert cube map to it. And you can see that it looks like it should be reflecting in a desert, even though it's in the Lost Grove. So they kind of exemplified how that was done. and they updated a whole bunch of these cube maps around the game. And I felt that this was a really technical bit of the stream. I think I can explain it. Do you have any questions on this, Tanis?
No, I didn't really follow the first time. I doubt I'll follow much better this.
All right. It effectively boils down to the way Zant describes it as using a combination of the albedo, roughness, and normal bump texture maps to create a realistic-looking material to reflect that light. And then that light is used with light sources and the 2D cube map that's applied to that various map square. And the tool that they showed effectively allowed them to see that, you know, here's what Drainer looks like. And because of that, you can see that Drainer is a bit darker than the rest of the world. You can see, of course, see the desert areas and Karamja and whatnot. And I found to really get this, you kind of have to be following from the beginning. But suffice to say, the thing that everybody needs to take out of this at the end is that the new character avatar refresh is going to look a lot better than what we have right now. And they could have put it into game as it was. But if they did, you would have had some really odd reflections on that. So I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah, we're always down to take the time you need. And especially with something like this, because we want to keep seeing these kinds of changes. And it only takes, you know, one of these to not go real well before people will pull back and really rebel the next time. So
yeah, and I mean, you don't want to put this much... You don't want to put this much time into a project like this and bring out a new character model and not have it look as the player expected when they were in the character creator, because their environment was different to what they were expecting it to be. And the examples they gave of how it could be off is it could have had the wrong color, or it could have been washed out, and you would have been picking up specific characters specific colors from the environment instead, which you don't really want. They also updated the way caves work in terms of just the sheer amount of caves that were in game and the lighting with those. To do that, they brought in a number of changes for sky color as well. They brought in a number of changes in terms of the way the camera was sitting so that it would reflect better. And they added some additional light sources with this as well. So overall, they put together a new before and after of how these things looked inside the cave. And it looks so much better now than it did in the past in terms of both the environment itself and, you know, just putting these new metallic objects in game. And you know, this is the point where I was just sitting here and I was going, is this the same game?
Yeah, it's come a long way from those low quality, you know, Java settings, right?
Yeah, the 2D sprites of Classic. And it wasn't just the caves that they did, they also showcased a number of areas like the Elite Dungeons, Davendale, and on the whole, everything looks a lot better than it was in terms of reflecting the light and the environment surrounding it. So we do have some timestamps linked to the live stream in the show that if you want to go have a look at this on your own, you can, because I highly recommend doing that, because, you know, there's only so much we can say on an audio podcast that will show just the kind of work that we can expect when this arrives, you know, and what it opens us up to, I think, in terms of cosmetics. And that was the thing that was consistently bouncing around in my head, is that with these kind of things, just allows the cosmetics that they put into game just to be taken up to that next level.
Yep, absolutely.
And imagine having cosmetics like that in one of the bundles like we saw this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with your little, you know, 4% boost, you know, for 2 days or however long.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah. They also showcased some of the new reflectivity stuff on both the caves and in Davendale as well. And there was a really interesting metallic sphere that they put out. And you can see that, you know, this is something that you wouldn't have been able to have in Java before with the Java client way back when. But now with NXT going back 5 years, this is the whole reason that client update was done. And oh my, are we reaping the benefits both in terms of not just the character refresh, but the new material system that they have as well. So, perfect.
Yeah, and, you know, also, this is the kind of stuff that we couldn't, I don't think we could have had either, as long as we were dragging that dead corpse with us. You know, you just couldn't have gotten an update like this.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things we want to do, we didn't get to do it this month, and I hope Patreon supporters will let us do this at some point. And, you know, maybe wait until the character avatar refresh is the time to do it at now. But I'd love to do a monthly bit, and we have this one on the poll talking about the rise and the fall of the Java client, specifically what Java enabled in the past, but also how it held the game back and what it, moving away from it, has brought us today. And we're seeing this here. So, you know, if you're a Patreon supporter, just keep that in mind. That's something that your host would like to do at some point. what was your favorite part of the live stream up to this point when they were showcasing the caves and whatnot?
I found the cube stuff really interesting, even though like I didn't understand it fully. It was interesting to me, and I was kind of trying to relate it to, like, in my own mind, I was thinking about, like, leather. You know what I mean? How, like, leather can be, like, really super shiny in one spot, but it fades and then will be dark, and I don't know. That's how I was kind of, like, making sense.
That's actually a really good example, because as a material, what they were showing was largely shiny, but you could have a leather that has that kind of variation to it now with the system.
Yeah, and I think that would be, I think it's going to make it look great.
Ooh, yeah, that opens up a whole new possibility. And, you know, they say that, you know, there's a general expectation now of weapons and armor having reflectivity, and they wanted, in order to get that done and make it available to us, but not have it be, you know, so far off that it didn't look like it was part of RS. So I think they accomplished that. But there's also something else that was revealed with this live stream, and that with the Avatar Refresh project, chat heads are getting an update.
Yeah, I thought we had one of those not too long ago.
But I think that was probably around like 2013.
I was going to say, the years fly by, don't they? Like, it doesn't feel like it was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But I believe it.
And this was made possible with a new renderer that they were able to just get up and running in time for the live stream this week, showcasing what the character designer looked like when you're first creating your account. It's that renderer. It has much better lighting to it. It's able to fully expose all aspects of the cosmetics that you're wearing, your hair, your face, and shadows alongside of that, and it just adds a whole new lifelike element to it. And that also happened for the chat head, and I don't think we can underscore how important that is, because, you know, quests are done by engaging with the NPCs in-game. And that is through this box with your chat heads. And the more expressive your chat head is, and the more detail that has, that just increases the immersion of your quest gameplay experience. So this is going to help out us on the questing side so much more than we've had in the last number of years. Not only in addition to the game looking great, our chat heads and what the immersion we're seeing when we're reading the quest is going to look really good too. Then a question came up in chat. Will these new changes have any impact on performance? And there was no direct answer to this, but the general answer that was given was that it's not a more expensive system than that's currently in use, and it already uses the existing rendering system in-game. So in theory, it shouldn't be more expensive, and it shouldn't have a huge hit on performance. So they say.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, why would it? Wouldn't it be better with modern, like, the modern way of doing things?
I mean, you'd think so, but at the same time, I mean, you're putting a higher fidelity model into play, right? And it's not only for your chat head, it's for everyone's chat head. So I can see why that's a question. And I know that's something that people have been asking since the start of this, and we haven't really heard an answer to, is how much of an impact this character model update is going to have on the graphics and the general responsiveness of the game. But from what I can tell, and just using my own limited knowledge, I don't think it's going to have too much of an impact on that.
Well, and that's what I would... That would be my first question, too, is, okay, if you think there's going to be a performance, you know, hit, where do you think that's going to take place? Are we talking the fringes? Are we talking the lowest specs out there? Are we talking about preserving toasters again? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, now if people are experiencing performance hits and it's, you know, a more modern machine or whatever, then I think that's a conversation.
Yeah, that's a discussion to have. I don't think the mid to low ends are going to be hit that much, because you got to keep in mind that everything they're building in this day and age has to account for mobile, which is a huge swath of devices.
So I find it hard to believe that anyone would actually notice this unless they were monitoring.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just going to get in front of this and say this now. There's going to be people out there who are going to say that when it comes out that the new character avatar refresh tanked their performance. There's just going to be people who say that. And this would have been, I think, the time to get in front of that. If we were looking at, you know, being proactive here. But they also showed off the ceremonial guard outfit with new rendering, and it's just so shiny. And this is a relatively old outfit, too, and everything just pops so much more. And these are items that already existed in-game. So, overall, very, very nice.
Yeah, this is like talk about a new coat of paint. I mean, this is a new coat of paint.
Yeah. In total, there are 7 male and female costumes complete, with 25 male hairstyles, 15 beards, and 16 female hairstyles. They're working with more, and they're working with outsourcers, and that's how they're going to bring this stuff to game as they continue developing it. Following that, the JMod spent a good deal of time in the character creator building characters and just admiring them. And they showed some of them off at Davendale, the Infernal Source, and Stormguard Citadel, which, of course, are all very picturesque locations that you'd want to show off with this kind of thing. And the characters just fit so well into the environment, absorb the light around them, and reflect better. And, you know, Davendale, you could actually see the water, I think, reflecting off of the person's armor. I don't know if that was an aberration of the live stream, but it looked like that to me when I was watching it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Pretty sure it's not an aberration, but you can definitely see the water reflecting.
Yeah, and I can remember it was a big deal when we had, like, high detail in the water.
Yeah.
Like, water, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny.
My. And this was just, you know, some of the things that we saw with this. Infernal Source, another one, fits right into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Stormguard. And we knew this coming in last year, just how picturesque these archaeology locations were.
I wonder if the old polypore, that would look like.
Oh, yeah, that'd be an interesting one.
That was always neat.
Because that's got a lot of verticality to it.
Yes, yep.
And lots of unique color highlighting you didn't see anywhere. Before the live stream, the art team was trying to recreate film characters from Guardians of the Galaxy, and they were actually able to recreate a few of them.
Groot.
And then after that, they ended the live stream talking about the Smith with a quiff. New hairstyle and whatnot. That just has a good deal more volume to it and fits in. So, fits into the game so much better. And what I'm wondering on this is, do you think players are sold yet?
I don't know if they're really paying attention to it right now. I think it'll be... what I am kind of afraid of is it might be like the skill cape. And no one paid any attention until it hit.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm worried about. Then again, I don't know how you don't like this. It looks really good. But I've been wrong before.
Right. Remember how people bought in to the complicated compre work when they saw the capes?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I feel like it could kind of go either way, and I hate it, but a lot of people will probably be swayed by the people that they look up to playing this game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If they like it, then they're probably going to like it, but...
Plus, I also just think that for anybody new coming into the game who doesn't have a connection to it, this is something you absolutely need.
Well,
this kind of high-fidelity model in 2021.
Well, yeah, I mean, otherwise, like, you know, it's hard to believe that we've had NXT for 5 years, and to think that we could have had this if we had this 5 years ago, where would we have been now? With what it could do, you know, I don't know. So
right, and they've said that their engine has the ability to create scenes that would resemble other AAA games out there. I know they've mentioned World of Warcraft, but they said they don't want to do this because it takes away from what RuneScape is. So it's just a question of pushing the limit enough that you're able to still maintain that look and feel, but still iterate on what you have.
Yeah, and I think you could push it a little bit further now. I think because you have the safety guardrail of old school, you can push RS3 to the limit. Because you do have those guardrails. You have those bumpers. If it goes a little too far, you can always go back to OS. I want to know, like, could you imagine, like, what would a AAA game, or what would RuneScape look like in AAA style, like as a point-and-click game? I've never seen anything like that, I don't think.
So you're basically asking, if you were to make RuneScape today, starting fresh, what would it look like?
Yeah, essentially. We have the tools. We have the technology.
Can you imagine a RuneScape MOBA?
I mean, we have.
Like, I mean, we're off the boat of that one. That one's a phase from a number of years ago. But still, I mean, that's another good graphical case, right? So
yeah.
And I just hope that this live stream opens everyone's eyes up, who hasn't looked at one of these before, to see where the technology is at and what's around the corner. I haven't sampled anyone else's opinion on this week, but I feel like we're in a really good position here, and I don't know what there would be with this project at this point to be worried about. So if anybody out there has concerns about this, I'd be happy to hear them, honestly, I think, because that's good for feedback, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, my concern is the people that are following right now do like it, and anyone that may not, you know, love it, is I don't think they're paying attention right now. And I think it would be so much better if that feedback came beforehand, but it's not always the case. So we'll see.
Agreed. All right. We're going to move on. Talking about one more thing, and I actually did forgot to mention this in the patch notes. They did make a note about changes to the minimum requirements for RuneScape Mobile. In particular, they want to offer top drawer experience, and they've been looking at a number of devices in terms of ones that are part of the beta, and they say they have continued to provide improvements and refinements for mobile, and with that, there's a number of simply devices that won't fit the quality bar due to hardware limitations. So as a result of this, the minimum specifications on Android are going to be Android 8 and higher, as well as 2 gigs of RAM. Now, I don't know where this fits because I'm not an Android user, but at this point, I feel like our cutoff for the iPhone side would probably be the iPhone 7, I think, if we were putting it in this perspective. And they say, if you're one of these players who is being cut off with this, we are really grateful for the time you spent playing in our open Android beta. And while we can imagine this news comes as a big disappointment, your participation was crucial in helping us deliver a great experience on mobile this summer. Thank you so much for your participation. We hope you're able to join us again on mobile in the future.
We'll get a new phone.
Yeah, and you know, I think people are going to probably do that, you know?
Can't play mobile on a jitterbug.
No. Android 8 was Android Oreo, released in March of 2017. Or sorry, debuted in March of 2017, released in August 2017. And the first developer preview for it was the Nexus 5S or 5X and 6P, as well as the Pixel C and both Pixel smartphones. So that's not too bad. You'll be able to run RuneScape on a Pixel.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, that's you know, a fairly old phone. Based on where they're at the Pixel 5, so that's 5 years ago. So that would have come out in 2016. Be running Oreo in 2017. 2 gigs of RAM. I think that's pretty good backwards compatibility.
It doesn't sound too bad to me. I don't know.
Or no, the Pixel came out in February of 2013. Was able to run Oreo. Had 4 gigs of RAM.
Well, damn. Go Pixel, go.
So based on this, it sounds like you're going to be able to run it on a phone from 2015, maybe 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Or no.
As long as I didn't lose the 8, I'm sticking.
Or no, I was sorry. I was mixed up here. 5 years ago is the right number. The Pixel and Pixel XL debuted on October 4th, 2016.
Okay, that sounds more like
so
it.
So 5 years, which puts it, like I said, the minimum for the iPhone 7, which was also a 2016 phone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just about the same as where I felt it would fall on the Apple side. Pixel 2 was 2017, Pixel 3, 2018, Pixel 3A was 2019. So, I mean, overall, you're going back to something 2016 related or so, which I think for a mobile game, 5 years out, that's fairly decent, honestly.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Now, if you compare that to the iPhone 7, which we have 8s, the iPhone 7, see, Apple doesn't publish RAM specifications on their phone. You have to go to other sources to find it. The iPhone 7 had two gigs of RAM, and the iPhone 7 Plus had 3 gigs of RAM. So roughly the same specs, barring CPU differences to the original Pixel. So yeah, iPhone 7, Google Pixel, that same sort of generation there, I'd say is what you're looking at. So 2016, 2017-ish, give or take, would be the minimum requirements for this. And that's based on what I've felt as well. I haven't personally been able to test it on the iPhone 7, but people I've talked to who have an iPhone 7 say that it runs, but it's an okay experience. So it fits into that minimal category. I feel the iPhone 8 runs okay. It gets 30 FPS. It's not running at 60 FPS. It's good enough. So we're on that.
Plenty good enough for what I do on it.
Yeah. So there we have it. Not too much to write home about there, I don't think. All right. One more thing before we start wrapping this up and talking about our picks of the week. We have another login lockout update. I bet you didn't think we were getting one of these.
No, I thought we were done.
I thought we were done.
Yeah.
No, but we're not. As of May 6th, there's another update that was published. They say with this that over the past month, the team has been working hard and slowly returning more of the counts that required additional special attention. And as of May 6th, they have released almost every single locked out account. And they said on the live stream that the number that were remaining was in the single digits, which is good.
Uh-huh.
And these accounts were more challenging to restore. And because of that, there's a higher potential for issues that need resolving. So if anything is wrong with any accounts that have been restored, do contact after support, and they'll work as quick as they can to restore things or make good on anything that doesn't look quite right. And as an extra thank you, restoring these more complex cases has been a long and intense process, and the end result meant an additional month's wait for some people. Yeah. I mean, we're pushing 2 months here. For anyone restored on April 28th or May 6th, they'll be providing extra returned gifts to recognize this extended time away, in addition to the 2 months of membership that have already been covered if these people were an active member. They've also added an additional 2 months of membership to these people's accounts for 4 months in total as a thank you for this patience. And they've also received 2 additional in-game returned packages, meaning you'll get 3. And when released, these accounts will also be receiving 1 more wish than most other players.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess it's, you know, something good for them.
Yeah, and we still don't know what the wishes are, so, I mean...
Yeah.
Lots of questions on that, but, hey.
Lots.
It's good they're getting down to the single digits.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you been seeing more return titles in-game?
I saw a lot in the beginning. I don't know, man.
We're still kind of waiting for that retrospective, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean it's hard because it's anecdotal, you know. Like I'll be at the fishing spot and I see a bunch of people with return title, or I might be at a divination spot. I'm seeing a bunch of people with return titles, you know, and you're going,
Or maybe it's just confirmation bias that you're seeing them all at one time.
Yes. So, you know, who knows? But yeah, I see more than I thought I would see. Put it that way.
Yeah, I'm eagerly awaiting the retrospective on this. So maybe we'll get some more information on that next week at the Leeds Q&A. But I think we can wrap this show up. We're going to move on to our picks of the week. You're not doing one this week, but I will. And, you know, this is something I thought that it never occurred to me to do this as pick of the week. I've used one of these since 2016, and it's never been pick of the week, and that's the Apple Watch. Believe it or not. And in the last year, these things have taken on a whole new meaning for some people, what they can provide during the pandemic. So I'm going to start with that point right now. They have a number of available finishes, let's just say, that you can purchase. They have the Series 6 and the SE. And then they have an older Series 3. So they got one at pretty much every price band for this. I don't know what the American price is currently, but the Series 6 starts at 529 Canadian. And the Series, or the Apple Watch SE starts at 369 Canadian. I think it is, or is it 299? Something to that effect. I think it's 299 US. Yeah, 299 US, 369 Canadian. They got one at pretty much every price grouping here. And over the span of the pandemic, these things have taken on a whole new use for lots of people. Because all Apple Watches with the most recent Watch OS update have a new notification that if you're out and about and you come home, and you forget to wash your hands after being at home, it'll give you a subtle reminder to go wash your hands. Then, while washing your hands, it'll detect if it hears water and in the motion of you washing your hands. It will give you a little countdown with some haptic feedback about how you're doing at washing your hands. And, you know, they say, you know, you got to use soap and water and scrub for about 20 seconds or so, and it will provide a countdown for you when you're doing that. And that's something that, you know, I don't think people really give too much thought to doing that. So it's something I think that is nice to have. But if you opt for the Series 6 in relation to pandemic-related things, you now have a blood oxygen reader on the Apple Watch.
That
And
is cool.
the reason that's so important is that during the pandemic, one of the signs and symptoms, if you've been diagnosed with the virus, is if your blood oxygen level starts decreasing, even if you currently feel fine, that can be an indication if you're going to need hospitalization or worse. So with the Series 6, you can watch for that and take preemptive action to try and fix that. But it doesn't stop there. The Series 6 also offers an ECG sensor that has been approved in all the countries where it's active. So it can detect irregular heart rhythms and say, oh, we detect this. Perhaps you should go see a doctor and make sure that your heart is functioning properly. Actually, all the devices feature irregular heart rhythm notifications. So if your heart beats too fast or too slow, you'll get a notification on all the Apple Watches. But the Series 6 also does an ECG to make that can be an indicator for heart health as well. Now, you might be wondering, what else does this thing do? The SE and the 6 also have fall detection. So if you know, typically fall and you're not able to move, it will detect that and you can have it automatically call the authorities on you if that's the case, or call one of your close contacts because it's inherently linked with your phone. And if you're a swimmer, these things are rated for water-resistant swimming up to 50 meters deep. So I know there's people out there who, you know, have classic digital watches who shower with them on. I personally don't do that. But, you know, wearing one of these things into the shower is not going to destroy it as well. And, you know, these are things that are not intrusive. It's carried on with the Apple privacy settings baked in that you have on iOS. You have to explicitly okay for any data sharing of your vital signs as it was to any app that might want it. And overall, I mean, I haven't even begun to talk about the fact that these things are basically a Fitbit plus plus, that if you're used to what a Fitbit does, this thing does all that and more. And in general, it's also a nice way to kind of separate you from your phone. So if you're one of those people that is always looking at your phone, you can effectively use the watch to triage your phone notifications to see, oh, do I really need to open this on my phone, or can I just snooze that email, or maybe this is a text message that can go with just a one-word reply. That can be done from your watch. So overall, it's a really interesting tool, and I think lots of people, you know, kind of just said, ha, it's a smart watch. You have a calculator and the weather on your wrist, and sure, you can do that if you want, but with all these different families of Apple Watch, you can take it one step further. And it really exemplifies what Apple has been going for with the combined iOS ecosystem with the watch. So that's the pick of the week.
That's awesome. I've been thinking about getting one for my birthday this year. We'll see, but that's definitely something I have been thinking about.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have, I need to just make it clear that it only works with an iPhone, so you need that. But if you go further than that, and if you had AirPods, for example, the AirPods can intelligently swap between your phone and your watch as well, in terms of providing audio to it, in terms of providing audio to you. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so many fun little features associated with it. And, you know, I've done another app before, pick of the week on the show, the full app of it, an iOS app called pCalc. It's actually a calculator on the watch as well. So there's a whole app store ecosystem for this as well, believe it or not. So I was surprised. I was looking at this and, you know, this is something I use every day and it hasn't been pick of the week. So I thought I'd talk about it a bit, and we'll see what Apple has in store for next month when the new copy of watchOS is unveiled. So that's the pick of the week.
Cool.
Oh, boy. We got to do something else before we... I was trying to get you ready for achievements here, but we got to talk about Skill of the Month first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Take a breather. Divination Skill of the Month. Parnassius has been reaping in that divination XP. 20.9 million XP gained so far. Second place is GemAndy52 with 8 million, and third place is Mr. Harvey with 7 million XP.
All right.
So taking advantage of that modern divination training.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see these numbers previously in the past, you'd say, oh, my God, that's a ton of two-ticking.
But yeah.
But now you look at 21 million XP and you say 480,000 XP per hour. Okay. Divide that by two. That's still like 22 hours of training, but it's not nearly as intensive as you would have had to do back in the day. So
yeah, it's not like 4 months of caches.
No.
You know, something like that.
I knew it was a good idea to do divination this month for Skill of the Month.
Almost like you're prescient, Shane.
Yeah, I did, because I knew that was on the way. All right, well, the double XP wall of achievements is here, and we're going to get through everyone's name the best we can, so bear with us. Hopefully nothing bad happens along the way. Starting off, we have Alosith with 99 Slayer on May 12th, Eryx with 99 Hunter, Darkest Knight with 99 Dungeoneering, God Shaman with 99 Constitution, Garajo with 120 Farming. Then Gila Fleur got 99 Defense, Strength, and Attack, also on the 12th, Nordic Falcon got 99 mining. Ocean, I believe, got 99 defense. Rax Daboo got 99 hunter, attack, and strength. Rex Compidium got 99 cooking. Taffing Spy got 99 invention. Tycho Elf got 120 herblore. Vodka B got 120 farming. Xanthan Gum got 99 thieving. Moving on to the 11th, we have Alosith with 99 constitution. Duradel with 99 slayer. FE Super J with 99 woodcutting, fire making, fletching, and cooking. Gila Fleur with 99 ranged magic and constitution. Jamandy 52 putting in the work on May 11th with 200 million summoning and 200 million crafting earned. Holy cow. Well done. Kiki got 99 hunter also on the 11th. Ubi Danubi with 99 herblore. Rex Compidium with 99 herblore as well. Then Taffing Spy with 99 herblore. My God, people are busy with that skill. And Up the Iron 05 with 99 fletching. All on the 11th.
Wow. Yeah, some great achievements in there. But moving on to May 10th, we have Freaky Sky. Freaky Sky. With 99 herblore. There's no herblore. We have Mind with 120 Hunter on the 10th. We have Ozazoyo with 120 Farming. We have Rax Dibu with 99 Woodcutting. We have Ryora with 99 Summoning. Ryora with 99 Prayer. Chantasty with 99 fishing and 99 cooking. Both on the 10th. We have Xanthan Gum with 99 farming. Arix with 99 strength and 99 attack. Derper New with 120 hunter. Duradel with 99 attack on May 9th. Legion 1943 with 120 herblore on the 9th. Mesgram with 99 smithing on the 9th. Okay.
Take a breath.
Okay, then we have Spy Woman with 99 hunter on May 9th. We have Tycho Elf of 120 farming. All right, Tycho. Nice. Then we have Ultra Dog with Ultra Dog 177 with 99 strength. We have Zodia Child with 120 herblore on the 9th. We have Bulbazard with 99 magic and 99 attack and 99 strength and 99 ranged. Nice job, all on the 8th. Then we have Duradel with 99 defense on the 8th. Freak Escape with 99 thieving on the 8th. We have Goku Sibli, must be French,
with 120
archaeology. And then we have Gooey Cookie, those are the best kind, with 99 fletching. We have Lazy Colonel with 99 magic on May 8th. We have Mesgram with 99 crafting. That's on the 8th. Then we have the Lion with 200 mil construction. Nice, that was on the 8th. And then we have Twista Dorsal with 99 constitution. And let's see, we have Up the Iron 05 with 99 agility on the 8th. Gooey Cookie again with 99 fire making. Lazy Colonel with 99 fletching on the 7th. We have Popo with 120 agility on the 7th. Ryora with 99 slayer on the 7th. We have Shiro Shana with 120 herblore on the 7th. We have Surge Aurora with 99 fletching on the 7th. Tapping Spy with 99 agility on the 7th. We have Zabros with, or Zabros with 99 Herblore on the 7th, and Evil Fam with 120 Herblore on May 6th. And then we have I Defend with 120 Archaeology on the 6th. Lady Claw with 120 Construction on the 6th. We have Maine with 99 Fishing on the 6th. Mesgram with 99 Construction on the 5th. And Ciro Shama with 120 Archaeology on May 6th.
That's not quite the wall I was expecting, but it's still quite the wall, isn't it?
It's a pretty good wall. It's a pretty good wall. Yeah, you know, it's not the...
It feels like we're spreading them out more because it's over 20 days instead of 14.
That's true.
Which I'm okay with, personally. I'm okay with that. So, speaking of that, how's your double XP going?
Cruising, man. I mean, I've been able to do just a couple hours at night, and we're getting there. Just hit 119 Herblore while we were recording, and should have 120 by, you know, tomorrow night or whatever. So,
nice. Hey. What did you wind up doing?
The power burst of Power burst of. It was different. It wasn't the
opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think. No, it wasn't the opportunity. It's
Master Stroke. Niche.
Oh, it was opportunity. Yep.
It's the one with Phasmatite and Third Age Iron that you mm-hmm. mentioned last week. All right. Fair enough. Yep. Fair enough.
Yep. I mean, the resell won't be good, but it was a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't know how you make money with Herblore. I really don't.
Well, I think you did it, didn't you?
Yeah, but, somehow I did, and that's probably because I farmed the bulk of my herbs.
Well, that would definitely help. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, going back since the start of Double XP, I've got I started at 108, and I'm currently 111 Slayer.
Huh?
I honestly don't know what to tell you.
It's so weird that you're not into Slayer.
Yeah, I did your Gemstone Dragon task that you have spoken so highly of, and I hated it.
Oh man, but the XP, like it's so good.
I mean, yeah, but sure, the XP is good, but I hated the task. There were no good drops from it.
Did you eat?
Sharks.
Okay, well, yeah, make sure you don't get hungry when you're
I took a yak of sharks, and away I went. I did half the task staying in melee distance, like you said. I did half the task staying at distance and avoiding the special. Personally, I think I preferred the avoiding the special method for me.
Okay.
But overall, they just didn't resonate with me. Other tasks that really didn't resonate with me, Soul Devourers.
Yeah, I could take or leave them.
The task that I have had the best luck with, both literally and figuratively, have been the Dinosaurs and Vile Blooms. I really enjoyed the Vile Blooms. I think I am okay with the Dinosaurs as well. I did two Dinosaur tasks. On the task one, I got a piece of the blowpipe. And on another task, I got the actual blowpipe itself. I sold the actual bone blowpipe for 52 mil.
The luck that you have just blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is. Let's see, what else has there been? I did do an Abyssal Demon task with the mask. I did force one of those. I haven't forced a Dark Beast one yet. But, like I was saying, I think the problem I was having with Slayer boils down to three things. I don't like Slayer tasks that are inherently long and drawn out. I don't like Slayer tasks that are, how did I put it? I don't like the tasks that aren't AFKable, like the mini boss tasks. Like the Vile Blooms are okay, like the dinosaurs are okay. The Gemstone Dragons, Soul Devourers, And the third issue I think I had with Slayer that has been fixed was the loot interface. The fact the loot interface didn't stay up and update itself dynamically.
Yeah. That was a nice change.
And that helped me a lot, that one. But
that's good.
Quite honestly, at this point, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I have all this bonus XP I've been putting into Slayer over the course of this event. I also have a bunch of XP that's, just sitting around in Dungeoneering that I don't think I'll use this double XP. I have some in woodcutting as well. And I'm quite honestly wondering if I should just cash all this double XP in from Slayer and do another skill. Because it's just not resonating with me.
I don't know. I mean, don't forget about your dungeon. Like, the things that you can do, the daily task, even though it's not like you need a spot for Dark Beast or you need a spot for Abby's, I like parking him in that dungeon because you can just swap out.
Well, right. Remember
one task after another task after another.
What Parnassius said last week, he put the Ascension critters in his dungeon.
Yeah. If you did, I mean, I don't know if there's a helm for that, but I mean, you put three things in your dungeon that you can get daily tasks on from those helmets, and you just do it every day, and it takes like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, and I'm guessing I haven't found those yet. I don't think you need Abyssal Demons in there anymore, or Dark Beasts. I don't know what you'd put in there. I think the Ascension Critters are a good idea.
Well, you just want it to be able to, you want the things that you can force,
right,
that you can get to, quickly. Yeah.
The current task is going to be Crystal Shapeshifters, which I know you have experience with.
Oh yeah,
and I'm not sure if I should do those. Like, it just doesn't resonate, honestly.
I mean, it's the same thing as elves, really. But
right. But I'm speaking in general. I mean,
see, I liked it because I like combat, but I don't particularly like to boss necessarily. But I like a little bit of combat, so that's kind of why I like Slayer.
Yeah, and maybe it's just a question of finding the right creatures. I have not been assigned Lost Grove creatures yet.
Yeah, I don't have any experience with them.
I haven't been assigned Wyverns. Or stalker creatures. Or strike worms. I don't know. Maybe I just need to do more. But we'll talk more about that at the round table this weekend.
Chaos Giants, get that preferred.
Yes, I did. I did prefer Chaos Giants. Prefer those. But they haven't come up
yet. Big old sandbags. They're so good.
Yeah. So that's an important one. How do you feel about Rune Dragons?
Not my cup of tea.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
But as I said, we'll talk more about that at the round table this weekend. I have 31 hours of double XP left, so lots of time left to spend over the next week and a bit, so should be fun. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us, everybody. If you want to subscribe to us and have the podcast delivered automatically to you, you can do that. Just visit us at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and of course, as I also have mentioned before, YouTube, youtube.com/rsbnb. Subscribe, like the podcast there. It definitely helps with discovery. And of course, share them with a friend. Leave a review if your podcast aggregating service has them. And we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone. See you then.
See ya.